exactly is the author, it certainly is unknown to me. I don't know if history has recorded the author. That his name was Mordechai is rather obvious, but more than that, I can't say that we know about him. Nor do we know, at least do I know, in what period it was written. It appears to be quite old. It's not something new. It appears to be many, many hundreds of years old. But I have not seen yet much information about the author. So, one of the stanzas reads the following. The stanza which particularly references Hanukkah talks about the Yevonim. At the end, he says, "Minoyisar kankanim nasan es lashoshanim." From what was left over of the vials of oil, nasan es lashoshanim. And then he says something very remarkable: "Bnei vino yemei shmoyino kavu shiru anonim." Bnei vino means people of discernment, of havana. Havana is imek, depth. So bnei vino yemei shmoyino kavu shiru anonim. So what's the havana, the imek, which was kaveiris? So we know that Beis Yosef already raised this problem. Why we have 8 days of Hanukkah? Seichel would dictate we should have 7 days. There were 7 days that were miraculous. The fact that we all burned the first day, that's what's supposed to happen. The Chiddush is it burned 7 extra days, so it was 7 days of Ness. 7 days of Ness, we should have a Chag of 7 days. What if we have an 8 day Chag? The Chassam Sofer, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, says he does not comprehend the question. To him it seems simple. The Chassam Sofer. Why? 7 days we understood. It's obviously miraculous. What was the first day? In the Gemara it's apparent that this Chag was enacted certainly to commemorate the victory in the war. And the Maharal of Prague is very clear on that point in his Perush on the Agudas HaShas. And he wonders the Maharal of Prague, why is it, if that's the case, the Gemara says, the next year they enacted Hanukkah, not the year that they actually defeated the Yevonim, a year later. What accounts for this gap of a year? By Purim, we don't find any such gap. It says they fought with their enemies. The next day, that's it. They celebrate it. That's what the Megillah says. Furish. So why is it when it came to Hanukkah, do we have a year delay? What was the cause of the delay? So if the question was the nace of the menorahs, okay, so they didn't know about that until after the first Hanukkah ended. But since the Maharal of Prague is of the view that it's the celebration of the victory in war, so that happened in the first year, so they should have made a chag right away. They did that on Purim. So the Maharal of Prague writes something quite remarkable. It tells us that the Jews were not convinced that they had observed anything miraculous in the war. Now that's despite the fact, as we say in the Alanisim, they were Giborim Biyad Chaloshim V'Rabim Biyad Ma'at. There are two indices by which we measure military strength. One is numbers. As the world says, you don't want to get in a war with China. It's just an endless amount of people that they have. What are you going to do in a war with China? A second index is the quality of the troops that you have. What's their armament? What's their training? What's their organization, their morale, their discipline? All the factors which determine the quality of troops. Now, if you have a war which pits one against the other, it's an interesting war. One side has numbers and the other side has quality. That's an interesting war. But usually in history, if one side can muster both numbers and quality, it's pretty much a sure victory. And yet, despite the fact that Antiochus had both factors on his side, he lost the war. Rather remarkable. So why is it that we did not grasp that this was a miraculous event? Quite unexpected and quite inexplicable. The answer is that we have a tendency to look at everything in this world in terms of Derech HaTeva. We live in a world of Teva. We understand the world around us. We operate up in Derech HaTeva. A farmer has to plant. He plants at the beginning of the planting season. He doesn't plant 5 months earlier or 5 months later. If you invest, there are rules of investing, of businesses that are wise to invest in and businesses that you're foolish to invest in. There's a Derech HaTeva. We live in this world according to Derech HaTeva. That's our Ishtadlus. We're acclimated to looking in this world in terms of Derech HaTeva. That being the case, we looked at this war, you know, and sometimes the mouse roars. And despite all the factors against it, it still wins the war. Rather unexpectedly, but it wins the war. So that we're not convinced that anything miraculous has taken place. Explain it in terms of greater motivation, defense of homeland. Factors, morale, which sometimes allow a weaker army to win the war. But after they saw the nace of the menorah, they realized that the war itself was miraculous. And similarly, the Chassam Sofer says, we divide the world between the Teva and Nes. But the reality is, what we see as Teva is also Nes. We just have to look at it in a deeper sense. As the Ramban writes at the end of Boy, that there's no person that's a Maimon who does not believe that everything in this world is a miraculous event. Chazon Ish Zatzal defines it. Teva is the most constant will of Hashem, but it's an expression of the will of Hashem. It's nothing more. What did Rav Chanina ben Doisa say in that famous passage in the Gemara on Shabbos? His daughters came to him Erev Shabbos, and he was impoverished, and they had no oil to put in the Shabbos candles. So he asked them what they have in the house. They told him they have vinegar. So he said, fill up the menorah with vinegar. Put in wicks and light it. Who likes vinegar? What's going to happen? Mishomar l'shemen l'hadlik, yomar l'chaymetz l'hadlik. What dictates that oil has to burn? Only one thing. The Dvar Hashem. The Rabbeinu Shalom so commanded it. Otherwise, oil won't burn either. So it's all totally on the Dvar Hashem. So the Rabbeinu Shalom wants the chaimetz will burn no less than the Shemen. It's also Dvar Hashem. And Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa understood that he was worthy of such a Dvar Hashem. So the Chassam Sofer says the war, whatever looks like Teva in this world, is also Ness. It's a Sotla. We saw the Ness of the Menorah. We realized that we had misconstrued the war. So the Shana, the next year, we enacted Hanukkah, to commemorate the victory in the war. The victory in the war is also miraculous, although not so obvious, subject to misunderstanding, but nevertheless miraculous. As everything in the world, ultimately, the Chassam Sefer says, Teva is also miraculous. Except that we just look at it more superficially. That's B'nei Vino Yimei Shmeino. That needs discernment. It's not obvious. To realize the veiled hand of Hashem in the world, that one has to look very, very carefully. If we don't look carefully, we look right past it. We don't see it. Where's the Rabbi Nishalad? Where is he? Only the person that's discerning, that looks at life with depth beyond superficiality, he finds the Rabbi Nishalad lurking in unexpected places. So B'nei Vino Yimei Shmaino Kovu Shirur Anonim. This came from Eimek, from a depth of understanding. This lies at the roots of the conflict of Yavon and Klal Yisrael. The greatest artistic achievement of Klal Yisrael was undoubtedly the menorah. And it's clear. And the Chazal tell us that the artisans who constructed the Mishkan found the notion of the menorah too complex, beyond their ability to be able to construct it. If once seen in the Kardol, the suggestions of what the menorah would look like, it's phenomenal. So we can only imagine that the real menorah will make even what they've constructed in the Kardol pale in comparison. Complex, artistic, beautiful. It's the very symbol. It was, in fact, in the ancient world, the very symbol of the Jewish people. On the coins of the ancient state of Israel was the menorah, just as it is the symbol of the modern state of Israel, the menorah. Of all, Hanukkah celebrates what? The rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. The Yevonim had contaminated not only the oil, they had contaminated the Beis HaMikdash. They interfered with the Korban Tomid, with the Avodah, they put a Tzelem Beheichal. They defiled the Beis HaMikdash. So Hanukkah is the rededication of the Mikdash. So the Shaila is a very simple Shaila. There are many different aspects of the Mikdash that had to be restored. We had to start the Karbonis again, the Korban Tomid. We had to remove the Tzlomah from the Heichal. We had to light the menorah, and repair the 13 breaches in the walls that the Yevonah made. There was a lot to do. The Rabbeinu Shalom could have projected the Nes of Hanukkah in any sphere of the Mikdash. What's up? Why Bedafka in the menorah? That wasn't the only problem. The entire Avodah and the Mikdash was disrupted. The Rabbeinu Shalom was biyodo to make a nes in anything. Could have made a nes in the Mizbeach. A nes in the repair of the walls. And any Avodah in the Mikdash. Why in the Havlokas Neiros? Did a Tziv writes, you know, there are things that in life become very meaningful to you. And this part of the Netziv assumes very great significance to me. Why? Because I learned it as a child. One of our Rabbeim, I don't even remember which one, in Yeshiva, taught us this perspective on the menorah. Much later in life only did I learn that this is recorded in the Netziv. I'm not sure that the Netziv is the one that was Mechadish it. I suspect that the Netziv is merely telling us a pshat, which was well established before. That's my suspicion. But it's in the Netziv in Parshas Bala Yitzchak Chumash. But when I saw it in the Netziv, it rang a bell. I remembered as a child that one of our Rabbeim taught it to us. What's the symbolism of the menorah? And the symbolism of the menorah states, Almul Pnei HaMenorah Yeru Shivas HaNeiros. There are six outer branches, three on each side, and yet the focus is upon the central column. So the Netziv tells us that the branches of the menorah represent every form of what we would call secular wisdom that exists in this world. Music, science, astronomy, mathematics, all the chokhmas of the world, all the chokhmah that exists in the world. And Chazal had a very deep reverence for chokhmah. Yesh chokhmah b'ulam ha'tzaimin. The world is a tremendous amount of chokhmah. Just look at the world around us, the technology around us that exists. The advances in the world of medicine. It's tremendous chokhmah in the world. Tremendous chokhmah. Because all that reverence, yesh chokhmah b'ulam ha'tzaimin. Yet what did Chazal teach us? The menorah, the central column of the menorah, represents the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah. What's the highest achievement of all the chokhmah in the world? When it illuminates the Derech Hashem. When through all the chokhmah in the world, we see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam more clearly. And we're more connected to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah. That's the ultimate achievement of all the chokhmah in the world. The Chazon Ish Zecher Tzadik Livracha, certainly a person very, very far from secular endeavor in this world. Someone that was kula Torah. But the Chazon Ish probed every discipline in the Torah, every area of the Torah. The Chazon Ish was a master of the halachos of Kiddush HaChodesh, the Rambam's Kiddush HaChodesh. The Rambam's Kiddush HaChodesh was misunderstood for hundreds of years. The Yale mathematicians in the 19th century said that the Rambam obviously had flawed trigonometric tables because the Rambam's equations don't add up. And it was Kiddush HaChodesh. The Chazon Ish came in the 20th century. And the Chazon Ish said the problem was not in the Rambam's mathematics. The problem was that the Yale professors did not know how to understand the Rambam the way the Chazon Ish did. And they misconstrued the Rambam. If they had understood what the Rambam wanted, they wouldn't have had problems in the mathematics. The mathematics were perfect. And the Chazon Ish went through all the calculations. They are so complex that there was a professor of mathematics in this neighborhood who wrote a sefer just to explain that which the Chazon Ish wrote in Ilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. And the Chazon Ish stated that the paper that he used to make the mathematical calculations to understand the Rambam's Kiddush HaChodesh, just mathematical equations, he said it has to be put in Shemus. Why? Because its function was to understand the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah. So it's no longer just mathematics. Now it became a chelik of Torah itself. May have achieved its highest function in this world. Not to build a bridge, and not to make an algorithm for a computer, but to understand the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah. To understand the depth of the halachos of Kiddush HaChodesh. It's a mul pnei ha'menorah yeru shivas ha'neiros. All the chokhmah in the world is significant, but what is its highest achievement? When it illuminates the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah. When it gives us deeper insight into the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Torah. When it allows us thereby to connect more deeply with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. that is greater significance. Yavam was the root of Western society. They studied the world around us in depth. What tremendous chachama. I mean, had I understood the length of a year and the methods that they use, once they're striking until today, the chachma that they had to be able to study the world around us without all the lasers and the electronics and all the instruments that we use today, the tremendous depth of chachma to probe the world around us and understand it was not simple. Tremendous chachma. But that's where it ended. Yesh chachma boom was time. They saw the world minus the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The world of Teva. Art was significant in their world. Beauty was significant. Aesthetics was significant. You know, their architecture, 2,500 years later, still striking and majestic. Their artistic accomplishments were great. But aesthetics was an end unto itself. No different. We are in a city of some of the world's greatest museums. The celebration of the human sense of aesthetics. But it celebrates the human being. What man can achieve. The nobility of mankind's quest. What did the Rabbeinu Shel Olam do? He took the greatest art, the greatest artistic accomplishment of Klal Yisrael. And what did he use it for? To reveal the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's presence. Aesthetics are important. Rashi tells us from since the time he constructed the first Mishkan. La'olam de'odam chos alayot. Aesthetics is very important. Extremely important. There should be a majesty and a dignity to the Beis HaMikdash. What does the Sefer HaChinuch write? That the majesty of the Beis HaMikdash should be so awesome that when one walks into it, the aesthetic should be so moving that I'm prompted to do tshuva. It shakes me out of my complacency and elevates me to be able to connect with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. But that's the role of the aesthetics. Yes, there's a beautiful menorah. It's striking. What's its ultimate accomplishment? To be in the Metropolitan Museum of Art? Is one of civilization's great artistic achievements? No. If it brings us to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, then it has achieved its purpose. This was the counterpoint to Greek culture. Aesthetics is significant, but not an end unto itself. It doesn't celebrate the human being. It celebrates the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam used the aesthetics in the Mikdash to demonstrate that its function, its ultimate function, is Amul Pnei HaMenorah Yiru Shivas HaNeiros, to connect us to Shekhinah. We are often in history, almost always out of sync. Almost always out of sync. We are either ahead of the world or in their perception behind the world. We're never in the right place. We're not with it. We're not part of the world's culture. We celebrated the sanctity of human life long before the Western world conceived of such a notion. We celebrate the sanctity of human life as the Western world is forgetting that it exists. We're either ahead of the world or behind the world, but the world is really together with us. And that is indeed the celebration of Hanukkah. That the Ner, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Ner, shines through all the darkness of the world. It's a counterpoint to all of society. B'chol dor v'dor, at every generation. If there's a sense of a moral code in the world, it's because of us. We do not need to look to the world around us to illuminate our course in life. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave us his Torah. And that in every society illuminates our course. As we light the narrative of Hanukkah, it's distinct from the celebration of Purim. Purim is the celebration of the physical survival of the Jewish people. Now, the old-time Rabbonim had a drush for it. Yaakov Avinu was mispalel, Hatzileni no miyar ochi miyar Esav. He said, I have two different threats which Esav represents. Sometimes the threat is miyar Esav, it comes with the sword. My life is on the line. That's one type of threat. A deeper type of threat is when he comes, Miyar Ochi. He's my brother. I'm one with you. We're one people. There's nothing that stands between us. I embrace you. What did Yaakov Avinu tell him? Yaakov Avinu confronted both. When he met him, it was Miyar Esav. He tried to kill him, Shimon says. And he didn't succeed. The Rabbeinu Shalom protected him. What was his next step? He said, return to me, to Har Seir. So what did Yaakov Avinu tell him? Udfokum yom achod v'meisu kol atzayim. I can't move as quickly as you can. I'm way down with children, with herds. I just can't rush them. It's not in keeping with their survival. So Ad Asher Ovo will Adoni Seira. Go ahead, and I'll meet you with Har Seir. And he sent him on his way. But he full well understood to live on Har Seir with Esav, he would not survive. We are Ochi. In spirit, he would not survive. Physically, he would survive. That he survived the physical assault of the days. But spiritually, he'd be decimated. He had to be in Om Levodot Yishkan. We seek our own destiny in this world, our own path, in service of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And that's Hanukkah. Yovan was not involved in what we would call a racial confrontation with Klal Yisrael. Haman was a racial confrontation with Klal Yisrael. The Jews, as a class of people, they wished to eliminate from the world, like Nazism, Yimach Shemon V'Zichro. They were not concerned with the person's beliefs, what he believed, he did believe, he didn't believe, it made no difference to them. An Apikoros, a Tzaddik, they had one concern. If you're Jewish, that's it. Goodbye. That was Haman. That was not Yovan. Yovan did not confront us in that fashion. Yovan wanted to embrace us philosophically. They respected the Jews, people that they very much provide that the Jews should join that way of life. These were the philosophers of the East. The wisest people were actually found in the world, in the entire world. our confrontation was philosophical. But they did not succeed philosophically in suppressing us. They attempted by power to suppress us. But their goal was not racial. Their goal was cultural, philosophical. And that's what we celebrate on Hanukkah. The survival of our culture. The Rabbanu Shel Olam Hazeh. That's what we celebrate. Hanukkah is Kol Shir Renonim. Sing praises of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Haydah, the thank you, Rabbanu Shel Olam. Because Hanukkah is Haydah, that's the answer to a very famous question. If we read the Al-Anisim is striking by its own mission. There's a striking omish in the Al-Anisim. The Al-Anisim talks about a victory over the Yevonim and Orphim. Why is there no mention of the Nes of the Menorah? No indication that anything miraculous took place. What possessed the author of the Al-Anisim? This is quite an ancient tefillah. And he did not mention the Nes of the Menorah. And for more than 2,000 years that we've recited this tefillah, no one came along and decided, you know. Rabbi Akiva could have decided we should have put in something about the Nes of the Menorah. Rav could have, Ravina and Rav Ashi, the Gainim could have. Over 2,000 years that we have this tefillah. And yet, it stands without reference to the Nes of the Menorah. In Brisk, they say that there are two things, the Shevach and the Zaydol. And there's a distinction, a very significant distinction between the two. Shevach is to praise the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam with, even without its personal effect upon me. If I study the cosmos, if I look into deep space and see the vastness of the universe, I'm awed by the greatness of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And yet, if I ask myself, well, what's the connection between deep space and myself, something that's a million light years away, I don't connect to that. It does not seem to mean anything in my life. It speaks of the greatness of Hashem that He made such a vast universe. But to me, listen, whether it's there or it's not there, my life is the same. That's Sheva. Haidah is Thanksgiving. That's the way things affect me. That's Haidah. And that's the Pshat. Moedim is Birchas Haidah. Moedim anachdulo is what? The things that I benefited from. I benefited by defeating the Greeks on the battlefield. They persecuted us. And we freed ourselves, as the Rambam writes. We restored our sovereignty for over 200 years, for the second half of the Bayis Sheni. That's something to celebrate. I celebrate. The Nes of the Menorah, very nice, there was a Nes. You can even acknowledge the Nes. But what did I have from it? Didn't change my life in terms of my practical life. It was of no direct benefit to me in this world. It illuminated me philosophically, but there was no direct benefit. It can't be part of Haidah. It's a fact that it's not part of Haidah. In the first stanza of the Al-Anisim, we find something very striking. Oz egmar b'shir mizmor chanukas ha-mizbeach. We celebrate on Hanukkah the rededication, the Chanukah of the Mizbeach, Chanukah of the Mizbeach. And in what fashion? Os Egmar B'Shir Mizmar. I will sing a song of the rededication of the Mishkan. That means the ultimate, the culmination of the Migdash is when we thank the Rabbeinu Shalom. When we sing the Rabbeinu Shalom's praises in the Migdash, that's the final step in its dedication. It was Egmar B'Shem Mizmar Chanukah Samizbeach. The Ramban and Chumash tells us that Dovra Melech could not create the Beis HaMikdash, could not build the Beis HaMikdash. Not only couldn't he build it, but if it was built by his initiative, it was also unacceptable. Why? Because Dovra Melech's role in this world more closely reflected the Midas HaDin than Midas HaRachamim. His life, he was involved in warfare. He served the Rabbeinu Shel Olam through Midas HaDin. The Beis HaMikdash, which was a place of Midas HaRachamim, was inconsistent with Dovra HaMelech's Avodah. A house that had to be built upon Midas HaRachamim could not be built by a person whose Avodah was rooted in Midas HaDin. But Dovra HaMelech was wise. Dovra HaMelech said, albeit, I cannot construct the Beis HaMikdash. What shall I do? Dovra HaMelech wrote the Mizmar for the dedication of the Mikdash. Mizmar Shir Chanukah Savayis LeDavid, the Mizmar that we recite each day at the Siyum HaTfilah and Chanukah. Mizmar Shir Chanukah Savayis LeDavid. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Mikdash, Dovra HaMelech was not living anymore. But whose Mizmar did we sing? The Mizmar of David. Dovra HaMelech said, "Os Egmar B'Shir Mizmar Chanukah Samizbeach." I cannot build the Mikdash, that's true. But the culmination of the Chanukah Samizbeach, the building, the final step in its construction is what? Is the Haidah. I cannot build the Mikdash. But the Haidah, which is the culmination of that process, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam does not stand in my way. So, as Egmar B'Shir Mizmar Chanukah Samizbeach, Dovid HaMelech is the one that sang the praise, Mizmar Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. The Chanukah Sabayis was LeDavid.
Wouldn't David then be able to say the Shevach, but why the Haidah? If he can't join in the mitzvah,
So he still thanked the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for he's singing the praises what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has given Klal Yisrael. Aramimcha Hashem ki didisoni. What does the Rabbeinu Shel Olam do for Klal Yisrael? The Mizmorim in Tilim, it's a whole issue in the Gemara, but the Mizmorim in Tilim reflect not only Dovra HaMelech, but Dovra HaMelech is the voice of Klal Yisrael. It's the voice of Klal Yisrael. Aromimcha Hashem kidilisoni, ki simachto yevani. Zamru l'Hashem chasida v'hudu l'zeicher kotcho. The Haidah of the Mikdash, the Haidah is on Chanukah, the initial Haidah is by Dovra HaMelech. And we come back to that Mizmar each day of Chanukah. Mizmar Shir Chanukah Savayis LeDavid. So what's the ultimate step in the Chanukah Samizbeach? Is the Haidah, the thank that we thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. In Chanukah we thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that the opportunity to serve him in his Mikdash was restored to us. The spirituality of Klal Yisrael was completed. That's what we thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Chanukah Sameach, Rabbi Yisai. May we be inspired by the lights of Chanukah. The Rebbetzin sent a little kibbud. It's on the table. Please avail yourself of it before tomorrow.